This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. On this day, 25 years ago, Soviet paratroopers dropped into Kabul, followed by tanks and then 100,000 Red Army soldiers. The invasion of Afghanistan shocked the West. The Soviets claimed they were invited in truth. They'd bought into intelligence that said that the homegrown communist government of Afghanistan was about to be toppled, which would allow the U.S. or newly fundamentalist Iran to move into a country that had long buffered the border of the USSR. The invasion of Afghanistan would ripple through history in a way that the Soviet Union could not have imagined, nor could the U.S. on that Christmas Eve.
This action on the Soviets has made a dramatic change in my own opinion of what the Soviets' ultimate goals are to anything they've done in the previous time I've been in office.
George Kreil wrote a history of these events.
That night, we had a president, Jimmy Carter, who had gone to bed as an authentic Cold War dove, if you remember, was really doing his best to reorient America's thinking about the communist enemy. But by the time he woke up or was woken up with the news of this invasion, he emerged as a transformed Cold War hawk who would initiate fantastic increases in the defense budget and really be changed.
George Kreil's history follows the fiercely anti-communist congressman who took on the Soviets, Charlie Wilson's war, the extraordinary story of the largest covert operation in history. That American covert operation helped fund Afghanistan's Mujahideen and put into their hands the ultimate weapon, portable anti-aircraft missiles, to fight the Soviets.
Up until that moment, on Christmas Eve of 1979, there had been rigid containment lines laid down by the United States and the Soviet Union. They were so rigid that back in the 50s, when our Secretary of State, John Foster Dulles, would say that if so much as one Soviet soldier crossed the threshold into Western Europe, we would retaliate massively with our nuclear arsenal. This was the authentic Cold War nightmare coming true for the president and his advisors. What are we going to do?
And we being the West, or the U.S. in particular, what then was done?
President Carter had been trying to change the rules of engagement, really trying to take the CIA out of the business of covert operations. But on Christmas Day, the CIA started to write out presidential findings, the authorization that a president has to sign off on any illegal, covert, military-type actions. And in a very short order, the president signed these lethal findings, which meant that he was authorizing the use of force to go and what would become, in time, the first and only time during the Cold War that the United States engaged in operations designed to kill soldiers of our enemy, the Soviets.
Was Afghanistan considered truly strategically significant, or was this a domino theory moment?
It was something bigger than all of that. It was a moment where, for the very first time in the Cold War, there was just a thought that the rules of engagement that had restrained both sides were suddenly broken, and that the Soviets were now prepared possibly to do almost anything. This is right when Ronald Reagan was on the edge of becoming president and doing it by warning the people of the United States that the Soviet Union had acquired military superiority and were in a position, he said, to launch and win a nuclear war. In those first days and weeks after the Soviets moved into Afghanistan and occupied the country with more than 100,000 troops, what was then considered the legendary Red Army, never been before defeated, there was a broad consensus everywhere in the West that there was nothing the Afghans could do. But no one at the time thought there ever could be a serious effort mobilized to challenge the Red Army in Afghanistan. That would come later.
But there was a hint of that right there in Kabul.
You're right. Right after the invasion, some word of mouth, everybody was going to gather, I think it was 8 o'clock at night, whenever darkness came, and it became famous forever after as the night of Allah Akbar. And suddenly, people started to chant, and all together, Allah Akbar, God is great. And again, Allah Akbar. And women, men, children, every place in the whole city, the air was just resonating with this sound. And for the Soviet soldiers, it was terrifying. Just menaced, thinking they're about to be seized by these primitive Afghans and dismembered. It was the first demonstration of this awesome demonstration of the refusal of the Afghans and their spirit to have any invader come in and prevail.
The Red Army did fail utterly. Some historians call it the Soviet Union's Vietnam, a quagmire so deep it pushed the USSR towards its ultimate breakup. The U.S. would pay a price later. Osama bin Laden forged his brand of fundamentalism in that war.
In Afghanistan, the Afghans who became our surrogate soldiers, everybody called them freedom fighters, from Jimmy Carter to Ronald Reagan. Before it was over, we actually did nothing. We built not a road, not a hospital, not a school, and just walked out. We paid a price later, a ferocious one. And the biggest thing is that we allowed the bin Ladens of the world to seize the idea that it was their jihad and that they had done it all. And the fact is it's untrue, but they walked away with the aura of victory, and that's their recruiting call, and we should never have given that to them.
George Kreil is author of Charlie Wilson's War, The Extraordinary Story of the Largest Covert Operation in History.